So hello all and welcome. And it is I, the realist philosopher. So how y'all doing today? I hope you're all doing good, fine, and well. I'm doing okay, I'm doing alright. I'm doing about as well as can be expected. So in this video, I wanted to actually talk about something I'm trying to do at the moment, but am limited in my efforts because of my health. But at the same time, there's a lot of benefit to people out there watching, and there'd be more if I'm able to do this because I could share my firsthand knowledge and experience of the process, which would help you in turn go through the same process, but it's not completely necessary, so I figured I would talk about it. Before I get to that, though, I wanted to discuss my health, where I am, updates of me out there. So I'm still alive, obviously, or I wouldn't be making this video. How's my health? It's middling to poor. So I stopped seeing real improvement in my health status several months ago. And any improvement that might have occurred has been negligible. I haven't seen any difference in terms of how much effort I'm able to put out, how much work I'm able to do, how productive I'm able to be in my daily life. So that sucks. So what have I been doing the past 7 months? Just working. I've only had the energy to work every day, 6, sometimes 7 days a week, as many hours as I can each day, which isn't much. Honestly, I get peripheral fog syndrome. It's essentially something. So for those of you who don't know, about 10 and a half months ago, I got sick. I had an injury that led to sepsis, to shock, to being in a coma, to having a heart attack. And the infection damaged every system in my body, from all my organs to my brain. So when I put in long periods of focused effort, the longer it is, the more this occurs, where I get a shrinking of my peripheral vision to a point where I can only see in like a sort of telescopic way, and everything else gets blocked out by this static fog that I compare to the static you see on a television that's turned to no station, that white snowiness. Well, that's what happens to my peripheral vision. And the only work that I found that I can do, plus my heart starts to hurt, and just in general, I start to experience some breathing problems. But that's the main issue, because the only work I found that I can do right now, it requires me to, you know, have working 100% vision and good focus. And in addition to the peripheral vision going out, my focus just starts to go into the toilet. The infection damaged my brain as well, apparently. So I do what I can, as much as I can, but it's just not enough. So in these 7 months, I've lost money every single month. I have yet to break even, let alone save anything. So whatever savings I've had, they've dwindled down to nothing. Not only that, but it turns out the work I'm doing is seasonal. It turns out that it's only good to make a living 9 months out of the year. Which I didn't know, didn't realize. You might be asking, how is that possible? I don't want to get into the specifics of it. If I do, you'd understand. But at the same time, if I got into the specifics, you'd actually know what I was doing. And there's some nut jobs out there that don't like the content I make and would like to create some problems with me. And they very easily could by screenshotting my face and sending it to the company I work for. You've got this nutter, racist, homophobic, transphobic, evil alt-right person working for you. Fire him. Here's a link to his videos. You won't like what he has to say. So, no. But sufficient to say, suffice it to say, there's 3 months out of the year. It's also dependent on area where it turns out we just entered into that. And my business just dropped off a cliff. And then I start talking to some other people doing it as independent contractors, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's normal for this area. And I'm like, really? It's like a third of what I was making before. Oh, it'll get back to normal come late August, early September. It's like, I can't survive that long. I barely was making ends meet, and I've been losing money every freaking month, and now you're telling me I'm going to be making a third of what I was? If that, I'll be homeless by the time September comes around. So, but I've only had the energy to just work, sleep, just come home, collapse. So I haven't really had the time or ability to consider it anything else. And that has included making content. That's why I haven't been making content. And so it occurred to me, I have to change my living situation drastically because I live in this studio apartment. Technically a one bedroom, but it's so small. It's really a studio. It's supposed to be temporary. You pay by the week or by the month, but there's no lease, so it's quite expensive. Compared to an apartment of the same size they would have a lease for. But because of my ridiculous hospital bills, which, you know, didn't find out about till after the fact, you know, coming out of lay coma, my credit's ruined, so I can't even rent an orthodox standard regular apartment anymore with a standard lease. So I'm stuck here unless I find some kind of alternative option. And I've got to lower my living expenses or I'm not going to make it until September with what I'm making now. And I can't go back. There's a number of reasons I can't go back to my original profession either because it's so physically strenuous. And I've tried actually to do some work in that area piecemeal and nearly drilled a hole in my foot. the peripheral fog and shrinking focus and just, you know, zoning out and sort of kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Detachment. Disassociation gets so bad that I can't be working with power tools or machinery. I mean, holy crap. Kill myself or somebody else. It's just really bad. And so I thought to myself, well, how can I, okay, I can't just magically, boom, increase my revenue, right? I'm very limited now in the things I can do reliably for any period of time to make enough money, and those have now gone into the dumper because of the season. So what do? I got to lower my living expenses. That's what I got to do. So it occurred to me, well, I can't rent an orthodox regular apartment, get a lease because of my credit, because of my hospital bill. So, and I really can't stay in this place feasibly unless something radically changed in my revenue. So how do I change my living situation? And then it hit me. Aha! No, can't do car life. I'd have a coronary. I wouldn't be able to do any work doing that. No. That's not an option. But what about RV life? What about a mobile home? What about a portable house that's a controlled environment that's made to be lived in, unlike a car that's not, that has air conditioning, has heat, has ventilation, has running water, has electricity, has a kitchen, albeit small, has a bedroom, has a living area, and it's mobile. And if you get a decent size one, it's kind of comparable to a tiny, studio apartment if you lived in China. Why not that? It's like, oh, too expensive, right? I mean, RV, you're going to be spending, even if used, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, right? Ah. But I'm an engineer. And a good one at that. And I can fix pretty much anything. And even though I have quite a few limitations in regards to being able to do that kind of work in a long-term atmosphere, I can, at my own pace and in my own time, and over a longer period, still do that kind of work and fix something up. So what if I were to buy a fixer-upper RV? One that was dirt cheap. One that maybe had been sitting for 10 years or more, where the engine wasn't functioning And the owners didn't want to put the money into fixing it, even though it's not difficult to fix. Soak the fuel pump, soak the carb if it's an older RV. The fuel system's gummed up just because of that corn in the fuel. Excuse me, ethanol. And when you let it sit a long time, it gums up the carb and the fuel pump, but at worst, you maybe replace the fuel pump. It's a mechanical one, so it's not hard to access. If it's an older vehicle, it's going to be right on the engine block. Soak the carb, maybe some new tires, and you're good to go. Maybe you need to replace the AC, or since it has its own electrical system, you don't even need to do that. RV ACs can be relatively expensive, but maybe just get an aftermarket standing AC on wheels. It's got electric. Pop in a microwave. As long as the electrical system works, as long as when you plug in the 30 or 50 amp outside plug to an outside electrical source to power the RV, they're usually 30 amp, by the way, you're good to go. You got AC, you have electrical outlets. What more do you need, right? They usually have plastic plumbing if there are some leaks, if there's some joints, if there's some pipe joints that have shrunk and maybe leaking. It's plastic piping, so it's not difficult to seal up any leaks, as long as they're not in hard to reach places. So as long as the electrical's working, nothing else really needs to be functioning. I can even have it towed. It's not too expensive, and then taken to a place where I can work on it at my own pace, so I don't kill myself, do what I'm able to do in a time span I'm able to do it. And then when I've got it working and running, rent a space. That's it. Rent a space. And they're ubiquitous. They're all over the place. It turns out in every state of the union, depending on where you are, there'll be more or less spaces where you pay for the sewage hookup, the electrical hookup, and a water hookup, and a space to park your RV, and that usually includes a place to park another vehicle as well, say a car. A lot of people that drive RVs, they travel around the country, and they tow their vehicle behind them, and so you just rent a space. And because it's not that big a space, you're not paying for, you're not having to insure a building that belongs to somebody else, oftentimes there's no security deposit, and the rent is going to be dirt cheap, $500, $600 at most, $700 a month, usually just around $600 a month. You rent a space. You get the RV, you're paying $600 in rent. A fraction of what you'd have to pay if you rented an apartment. So I realized that is a solution, and it's a viable one, except that it's barely viable, and very soon it won't be, because every month I'm losing money. And now the business has dropped off a cliff and isn't going to return to normal until late August, early September, and that's really the only work I can actually do right now. I'm on a timer here, so that's why I started a new GoFundMe campaign. I need your help, guys. You need your help so I can, and it's not an expensive purchase, really, but it's a bit beyond what I can afford now after all this time. And so what I want to do is purchase the dirt cheap RV. I already have one picked out, and I already have the towing arranged, I already have the storage arranged, and I already have storage arranged that will allow me to access it when I want to and work on it. And it doesn't need all that much work, not for somebody like myself. The braking system is dry, so I'm going to need to add brake fluid, and I'm going to need to gravity bleed it because the whole entire system is going to be full of air. That's the most reliable way. Don't even need to remove the tires for that, just since it's so high off the ground, the nipple on the brake drum is very easy to access. So you just unscrew that without removing the wheel. Put a little bucket underneath, and it just drains via gravity. A few hours of that, occasionally adding brake fluid, and it'll just naturally push the air out and didn't fill the whole system up. Since you're draining all of the nipples at once, gradually fill it up until all of the air has been displaced and removed. I'll have to change the oil. I'll have to change the transmission fluid. Hopefully, I won't have to do anything with the power steering. Maybe it doesn't have power steering. We'll see. I'm sure it does. Hopefully, that isn't dry, though. What else? I'll have to change the spark plugs, of course, but that's not an immediate requirement if it starts. And they told me it does start with starter fluid. And so that means the engine's not locked up. And I know the years, and I know that it has a mechanical fuel pump. Why that's a good thing is because it's going to be located on the engine block. It's easy to access as opposed to a more recent model after a certain year, which is going to have an electric fuel pump. Electric fuel pump is usually generally going to be located in the fuel tank, which can be difficult to access because most of these RVs do not have an access hatch for reaching the fuel pump. Some do, for convenience's sake. But in most cases, you have to physically drop the fuel tank, which could be a huge problem if, say, it's already full of 80 gallons of fuel that's 20 years old. There'd be big chunks of solidified fuel in there, and that would be a pain in the ass. So hopefully the fuel system is, fuel tank is relatively dry. Hopefully it's a plastic tank. If that's the case, I can just add fuel system concentrated solvent to break down any deposits in there. Soak the fuel pump. At worst case scenario, I have to replace the fuel pump, but I can get a carb kit and just clean the carb by soaking it. No need to take it apart, and assuming that the settings were correct before it sat for 10 years, they're going to be correct now. Using a carb cleaning kit will remove any deposits, just reinstall the carb. Do the same for the fuel pump, soak it or replace that. It's relatively cheap, actually. It's a low-tech fuel pump. And engine's running. Switch out, put in new transmission fluid, put in new oil, and you're good to go. Now, the only problem is the tires. So that could be a problem if it's been sitting a long time, dry-rotted tires. Now, the RV I'm looking at, it's super cheap, guys, because it's in terrible condition. But as long as there's not a lot of water damage inside, I can rectify a lot of the damage inside. As long as it's just cosmetic and it's dirty and it doesn't have leaks in the ceiling, which is a common occurrence. But from the pictures I saw, it was just dirty. I didn't see any water damage. The reason I say that's a big deal is because if there is water damage, the entire body of the RV, which is made of plywood, can be infected with mold. And yes, I can remove surface mold, just wipe down with bleach, but I can't address mold that's in the layers of the plywood, and so I can't live in something that's full of mold. That'll kill me with my horrible health right now. There's no amount of ventilation. You open up the ceiling vent, that's not going to get rid of the mold that's growing in the entirety of the walls and the ceiling. So that's something I have to check on. And six tires, they might be rotted. It's not, by the way, it's a common myth. It's not the heat that damages them. It's the direct sunlight and the UV that does. So I have to look at that. And the other thing I'll have to do is I'll have to remove the tires no matter what and repack the bearings. I have to make sure the bearings are even good. Probably are. But you have to repack them. The oil gets displaced. The grease gets displaced. Excuse me. It's not difficult. You just need a good jack. Jack them up. Remove the tire. Remove the crown nut and remove the bearing. You pack it with grease, put it back on, tighten it to 25 foot-pounds, and then loosen it an eighth to a quarter turn, and it's usually in the sweet spot at that point, or you can just tighten it as tight as you can, or finger tighten. Usually that range works, and then you put the cotter pin in and put the wheel back on. Tighten the lug nuts to the recommended torque, and there you go. That's just because, you know, you have to do that either once a year or every, like, 5 or 10,000 miles or something. It's not difficult, but, you know, got to have the right tools, which I do. But anyway, these are not, like, super, super difficult. These are low to mid-tier difficulty. And, you know, back before I got sick, I could do all this shit in a day. But now we're talking, you know, this is a couple months, you know, going once a week and just working as much as I'm able to until I start to, you know, zone out, and then I'll go back in a week. So that's where I am. That's the plan. And the reason I said at the beginning that this has to do with what I want to do in terms of immediate content, future content to help you guys out is, number one, reducing my expenses to this degree, it'll free me up. I won't have to kill myself as much to basically not even get ahead, but continually be behind month after month after month, slowly creeping toward homelessness, hoping that my health is going to improve, just buying time to where I'm able to do enough, be productive enough to get back in the black, and that's not happening. And then we've hit this downturn in the seasonal aspect of the work that I can do. So now I'm at a point where I need to reduce those expenses, and this will free up time. It'll take a lot of weight off my shoulders. It'll allow me to recover more. Even my doctor told me, you shouldn't be working. You're actually disabled. You should be on disability. But that's the other thing. It takes like a year to 2 years, even with a lawyer, to get that disability. What am I going to do in the meantime? Well, you can live on the street. I've worked hard for 40 years. 40 years paying into the system. Number one, that would kill me with the health I'm in. I wouldn't be able to work or afford the medications I'm taking now that are keeping me alive. So that's a non-starter there. That's an impossibility. So I'm kind of in a corner here that I didn't paint myself into for the most part. But I'm there regardless. I need your guys' help. And in return, what I want to do, because this is a more viable option for a lot of you out there than it is for me, is offer a step-by-step tutorial. So my thinking is, I go, I look at the RV, I videotape it all, I get the RV, I record as content, step-by-step, everything I do to it. From replacing, fixing any issues with plumbing, electrical, you know, engine, tires, anything in the body, any leaks that need to be sealed up, anything that needs to be done to it to get it working, keep it working, keep it mobile, even, you know, to insuring it, to what's required to register, title and tag it, everything. And then offer that to you guys as step-by-step content on how to do this yourself. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're a man, and you probably are if you're watching my content, there ain't too many broads watching what I produce. Things are going to get bad. Things are already bad. You think that, but they're not going to get worse? I can guarantee you, and this is not a black pill take, this is a realist take, things are going to get much worse. And you need to prioritize getting yourself into a situation where you are as off-grid as humanly possible. And once I'm settled and stable and back into the black, I can show you how to set the RV up with solar, even with portable wind fans on the roof to generate electricity, mobile power station inside with enough wattage to power your PC, to power all of your onboard appliances, the fridge. Make yourself 100% completely, totally off-grid, and reduce your expenses to such an extent that you could just work a handful hours a week and be set. Have all the money you need, all the food you need, all the power you need, and you're no longer dependent on the grid, on the system. You're off grid. They don't even know where you are. What happened to this guy? Where is he? He's dropped off the system. We don't know where this guy is. Uh-oh. One more useful idiot eater is off the grid. What am I going to do? Oh, no. So I want to help you do that. And if you could put yourself into that situation, that's valuable. Hugely valuable, but I realize that not everybody out there has the mechanical, the engineering, the electrical, the plumbing understanding to do this stuff, but I do. And I want to offer that to you guys, and I want to help you get into such a situation like that. So if you can help me to get the initial RV, pay for storage, and have enough to get the initial parts I need, which aren't too much. I can do it on the cheap, but I can't do it for nothing. Then I can in turn help you guys do the same. And admittedly, most of you out there are probably not in the same dire straits as I am, where you almost died and you can barely work and you're technically disabled and you're really stuck here. And so you're going to have more options than me. So you're going to be able to do more. You're going to have more ability to pursue this than I am, most of you anyway, generally speaking. So if I can get myself into that situation and progressing toward being, if not off-grid, at least as off-grid as possible, and eventually I would like to be 100% off-grid, that's the goal, but that costs more. And I can't really afford that. And I can't even really afford right now to go all in on the RV and purchasing it right now and storing it, because I just don't quite have the cushion, the safety net yet to take that risk, which is why I'm asking you guys for your help. So if you could give that help, you're going to get a lot in return. You're going to get my step-by-step tutorial. I mean, I'll cover everything. And if you have questions, new insulation, hey, what about doing this? What about installing an access hatch for that fuel pump? What about replacing a rear axle? What about, you know, this, that, and the other? What about putting in a new AC unit? There's an electrical problem, and I can't find the short, and this thing has 27 miles of electrical wiring in it. It's basically a house on wheels. How the heck do I find the electrical short to get the electrical system working? I can help you with all of that. I can get you set up and teach you what you need to know, tell you what to do, save you thousands of dollars in repair costs. I can show you everything you need to do to buy an RV on the cheap, walk you through step by step how to store it, where to find the storage needed to allow you to work on it, tell you what you need to do, where you need to go to get the parts, how to install everything. Do it yourself. And in the process, you're going to be learning all these new skills. And all I ask from you guys is to support my effort to get myself into that situation so I can then use that to help you guys. So, in turn, helping me helps you. And that's the perfect kind of quid pro quo, reciprocity, value for value relationship that I've always tried to offer. Never ask for nothing for nothing. So, and of course, in return, I'd also be able to continue making content, and I'd be able to start working on my book in regards to my school of philosophy. There's a whole bunch of bonuses that you're going to get if you help me out. So the link is in the description. I want to start on that series. I've already got the RV picked out. You guys can take the journey with me. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be very exciting. You'll learn a lot, and you'll gain the tools and the knowledge to off-grid yourself. And that's priceless. That's priceless. So let me know what you think down in the comments section. If you can afford to support me in my future work, please click on the GoFundMe link in the description. And I gotta go rest the hell up, Pete. But I am the Realist Philosopher, and I wish you all a good and pleasant day. Take care.